Namaste. Welcome back to our 7-day series in Rishikesh. So this morning is day 2, and today we did a grounding lunar mobility flow. So I hope you enjoyed the practice. And we wanted to chat today about the idea of mobility. Paige and I kind of stumbled across this style of practice when it was just after we met, remember, and you started teaching with me. And Paige had some wrist issues. She had a really sore wrist. And so she was like, I can't teach because I can't do downward facing dog. I can't do anything with my hands. And so I set her the challenge to teach a practice without putting her hands on the floor. And that was kind of what led us down this kind of a rabbit hole of how can we do yoga practice without putting our hands on the floor. And I think it's a really beautiful way to practice, because so often we're given the option to use blocks or to use our hands to kind of support us in our practice. Whereas in this style of practice, the mobility style of practice, we don't have that option. And so we get to really experience the fullness of our body's capacity.
And also feel like all the intricacies of the muscles activating and the stability that you have to create in order to stay stable and support it.
There's like little muscles in the feet and in the ankles and in the knees that are kind of like, what are they called? Accessory muscles that are just for stabilizing and supporting. And if you really tap into it, you can feel these just kind of tiny, tiny micro adjustments that are constantly happening to keep us balanced. And it's beautiful to find that awareness within our practice. And so mobility, we can kind of break down into these two pieces. It's active range and passive range. And the idea is to bridge the gap between our active range and our passive range. So I wanted to this morning just break down those two concepts. What do they mean, and how do we apply them in our practice? So active range is basically any range of motion in any joint. A range of motion just means like how far you can move a joint being your finger joint or your wrist joint or your elbow joint. So active range in all directions. And so each joint has, you know, a certain amount of movements. My wrist, I can flex, I can extend, I can move it this way, I can move it this way, and I can move it around in a circle. And so my active range is how far I can move that joint using the muscles of my body. And so what you'll find in any yoga pose is that you'll be able to go so far, and then you'll need to use some kind of support to go further into the pose. So maybe you have to put your hands on the floor and then you can pull yourself in, or you can grab onto your foot and you can pull it a little further, or your teacher comes up and they give you an adjustment to allow you to find that little bit more depth. And so what's happening when we're using that support to go deeper into our range of motion is that we're starting to work into what's called our passive range. And so our passive range is when we're not using the activity of our muscles to move through a range of motion. So if you look at my hand, I can move this far. I'm pretty flexible in my fingers, but I can move this far actively using the muscles of my wrist extensors to extend my fingers out wide. But if I take my finger, I can pull it back even further. And that's my passive range. So this is my active range here, and this is my passive range here. And so there's a gap between the two. And so within our practice, our aim is to expand our capacity of active range. How can we be more efficient in the way that we move? How can we broaden our horizons within the way that we move actively? Why should we be expanding our active range, Paige?
What do you think? To increase our passive range?
No, not so much to increase our passive range, because our active range is our stable range. It's our safe range. When we start to move into passive range, our muscles are no longer supporting our joints, right? And so it's okay to work with passive range in the context of yin yoga or in the context of stretching to gain flexibility. But if we're looking at actual functionality of our bodies, if we're looking at safety mechanisms through a long period of practice. We want to be working with our active range because that's where we're safe. That's where our muscles are supporting and protecting us.
And yeah, where the stability arises from, for sure.
100%. And so if we're looking at safety and longevity within our practice, we want to be working actively as best we can. And then we can use the passive range as a marker in order to increase our active range.
Sure. Yeah? I think that's an important point because I think that, you know, it's a common misconception in yoga that we're only working with the passive range and we're only trying to stretch our bodies and gain flexibility. But when we approach any kind of practice in that way, we do create instability and we do create injury, maybe. And so it's important to understand the place that both passive and active range has in yoga practice and how it's important to cultivate the two and to, as you said, use one another as a marker for each.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us come into yoga because we're already flexible.
Not me.
Maybe not some people, but a lot of people come into yoga and they stick with yoga because at some point or another, someone will say, wow, you're so good at this.
Yeah.
And when they say you're so good at this, what they're saying is like, you're flexible. You can get into the poses and make them look pretty.
Yeah.
And so we come into yoga, me being one of these people, I was already flexible. I have this certificate from primary school and it was basically like the special talent day. And it just says, Aaron Petty wins the award for the most flexible person in grade 3 because I could touch my nose on my knees.
Yeah, right.
And so we come into yoga and everyone says, wow, you're so good at this. And so we kind of look at the general consensus of yoga, which is to get deeper into the pose. Yeah. And so you go deeper and deeper and deeper, but we're not realizing that because we're already flexible, we go deeper and deeper and deeper into passive range. It creates instability. We get actually weaker and weaker and weaker. And so we're in that passive range, but sometimes or some point we can't get out anymore. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have someone that comes into a yoga class that's already stiff and strong. And they come to yoga and they're like, oh, well, I'm not flexible enough. I can't do the poses. And they actually have this kind of limitation in their passive range. So really what should be happening is that the flexible people who are good at yoga should be going to lift weights, and the people who are good at lifting weights and nice and strong should be doing yoga so that they can get more supple. And so we really need to understand where we are as an individual on that spectrum. Am I on the more flexible side, genetically and naturally? Am I on the more stiff side genetically and naturally? And then if we're on the more flexible side, we should be working more with active range.
Which we can also do in yoga.
We can definitely also do in yoga, but we really need to be diligent in the way that we are strengthening and supporting the joints. Mm. And then if you're on the more stiff side, you could be working more with passive range and passive stretching in order to bridge the gap. So you want to think, how far is my active range? How far is my passive range? And how can I bridge the gap between the two so that they're even? I can move as far actively as I'm able to come out, and I can move as far passively as I'm able to actively.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to ponder.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. And so what we found is just that without using our hands, we can really start to understand how our active range works, and we can really bring that stability into the practice. So I hope that you felt that today. Mm. It's just such an interesting topic that we could probably talk about for hours, but we're not going to. We're going to move on. The other thing I wanted to mention was just like how working actively is so deeply nourishing for our bodies. So heart attacks are so prevalent at the moment, and it's so interesting to me because our heart is designed to pump blood throughout our body. And most people think that the heart is the only thing that pumps blood and nutrients through the body.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is that it's not the only thing that pumps blood through your body. Your breath pumps blood through your body. So it's actually your diaphragm is connected to your heart. As you breathe in, it tugs on your heart. It gives your heart some assistance. So the deeper you breathe, the less work your heart has to do. And then the secondary pump is actually your muscles. Mm. When we contract and release muscles, they do the exact same thing as your heart does. Mm. They pump the blood. And that's where the blood's going. It's going in through the heart, it's going through the veins, through the arteries, into the muscles, bringing nutrients into the body and then filtering back out. Mm. So passive range, or if we're working like passive stretching, we go into a pose and we just relax the muscles, we actually don't get that benefit.
Interesting.
And so if we move actively, using the muscles to move us in and out and in and out, and then we hold at a place that the muscles can be contracted, and then we release them, we're actually, you know, aiding the heart and taking some pressure off the heart by using the muscles to pump the blood and the nutrients.
It's a very like basic physiological understanding of why active practice is heating and why passive practice is cooling.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like that age-old saying, movement is medicine, right? It's like, to get the nutrients into your body, to get the hydration into your body, to get nourishment into your body, you have to move. Mm. And so this active practice, it allows us to move in a way that's very intentional and very supportive and nurturing. Mm. And then within the joints, that active movement through the full range of motion, it brings the fluids into the joint, the synovial fluid that brings the oil, the lubrication, and all of the minerals and nutrients for the cartilage and the ligaments. Mm. Everything that's needed for the joints to function properly is given to us when we move the joints through a full range of motion.
Mm, for sure.
So it's a beautiful practice, and I think for so long, I was kind of like, yoga's not about movement. Yoga's about meditation.
Stillness.
Yoga's about stillness. Yoga's about, you know, the subtle practices. But the very first obstacle is yoga, is physical disease, vyadhi. And if we don't move our bodies won't be healthy. And that health is the gateway into the mental experience of yoga.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, I've kind of done like a full 180 in the fact that I really, really, truly, deeply believe that the movement and asana aspect of yoga is as important as meditation. It's as important as pranayama.
Especially in our very docile lives.
Yeah, sedentary lifestyles.
Sedentary lifestyle, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because if we are not moving, we're not bringing love into our body. We're not bringing nourishment into our body. Yeah, and the question is, if you are spending however long at your desk each day, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours sitting at a desk, and then you go home and you spend 2, 3, 4 hours sitting on the couch, and then you go to bed and you sleep, is a 1 hour yoga practice enough to counteract that sedentary lifestyle? No, it's not really. We need to be moving all day. Like, our bodies have been designed to move all day. We've been designed to walk and to move and to swing and to hang and to jump and to play. And so this knowledge of movement being our medicine, this knowledge of movement bringing nourishment, deep nourishment to our body, it kind of empowers us to become a little more active in our lives, like a little more expressive, and it encourages us to dance and to play and to swing and to jump and to go and explore the world.
For sure.
Which kind of brings me to our next point for today's practice. I was thinking about like what we wanted to offer in these podcasts, and we want to keep them kind of short, but I wanted to offer any pieces of wisdom that we've received during our stay in India. And so I wanted to tell a little bit of a story kind of in relation to this, like going out and exploring the world. Yesterday we did a workshop with one of the staff in the kitchen here, and it was an immunity booster workshop with Shivam, and he was just the sweetest man. And there was one thing that he said to us that really, really stuck out to me. And what he said was that the world is full of knowledge, the world is full of wisdom, but we just have to have the willpower to go out there and seek it.
Yeah.
And I think so often we are contained by our fears, contained by our safety mechanisms. You know, if I stay here in this job, if I continue with my daily routine of going home, sitting on the couch, watching Netflix, I'll be safe and therefore I'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
But very often those repetitive habits are what are keeping us unhappy. They're what keeping us unhealthy. They're what's keeping us sick. And so if we want to go on this journey of healing, if we want to go on this journey of knowing and learning and uncovering and discovering all of the knowledge that the world has to offer, we have to have the courage to move, to take action.
To seek it out.
Yeah, to seek it out. And for us, at this moment of our lives, it's like getting up off of our bed, packing our backpacks and walking out into the world and meeting people and asking people questions and sharing experiences. I think the most beautiful thing about India and the most beautiful thing about this place is that everyone here is a yogi.
Yeah.
You know, this guy Shivam that I was talking about, he was telling us that he hasn't done yoga, like yoga asana, for years. He just works here in the kitchen serving people. But he learned yoga at school. They had a yoga teacher in their school, and really yoga's built into the culture. And so the beautiful thing about coming to this place is that everyone you meet has some kind of yogic wisdom to share. And it's really up to you to be open enough to ask and to receive. And I think that goes for everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It goes for home, wherever you travel, whoever you meet. Everyone's had experiences. Everyone's had life experiences and everyone has something to share. And it's up to you. It's up to you to take the steps to go on and experience that.
Totally.
Cool. You got anything to add?
No, I think that was great.
Cool. I think the last thing just about moving in this active way is grounding. Kind of, you might have noticed this morning we did a lot of folding. And for us, like folding forwards, going inwards, it's very grounding.
And getting into your body is very grounding.
And that was what I was going to kind of move towards, is that like grounding means to be in your body. It's so often that we're living in our minds and experiencing life as mental fluctuations. And so we know that yoga is the cessation of the fluctuations of the mind. Yoga is when the mind becomes calm. And when we can ground into the body in this very active and intentional way, what we find is that once we've gotten to the end of our movement practice, we lay down for Shavasana, we sit up to do meditation, and the mind is naturally calm and quieter. And it's so common to hear people that get into a spiritual path or get into the yogic path, and they're really seeking out that you know, big experience, you know, blow me away, explode my ego and let me expand into the infinite. But spiritual life is about grounding. It's like, it's about grounding into your body. It's about grounding into your experience. It's about grounding into who you are, what you want, and what you want to share with the world. And becoming so deeply established in that you are unshakable, that nothing could shake you or change your mind. This is how I want to live my life. This is the message that I have to share with the world. And
we use the subtle practices of yoga and meditation to reach the highest highs of elevated consciousness and self-realization. And we take that knowledge, we take that wisdom, and we bring it back into our bodies. We bring it back into our lives so that we can live from that place, so we can share from that place, and so we can empower ourselves and others to be in this state of yoga always.
Beautiful, G. All right, then. Well,
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, this is
only day two, so there's 5 more days of practice, 5 more days of philosophy, which we'd love to have you join us for. So keep following along. And if you're interested in studying with us, if you're interested in practicing with us, we have so many different opportunities. We've got an online yoga studio with over 200 practices uploaded already. And we also have so many different options for studying and yoga teacher training with us online or even here in the home of Rishikesh next year, the home of yoga, the heart of yoga. So if you're interested, just sign up to our mailing list, check out our website with all of our offerings, and we'd absolutely love to have you join us.
Cool. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
We'll see you tomorrow. Much love.